Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 44 is coming at you. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and the Portal Gaming Podcast is brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and you can find us on Twitter, at PortalGaming60 is our handle. Welcome, everybody. It's good to talk with you this week once again. I am your host, The Brant, and this week I have two special guests with me. I have...
This is Gary Pope.
And...
Hello, this is Harrison.
Awesome. And they are both here with me to bring you episode number 44, which I have entitled... Truly Wonderful the Mind of a Child Is. And name that one, obviously that's a Yoda line there. And name that after, because they are going to talk to you about their trip to Extra Life United, where they were playing board games and raising money for kids. So I thought that was an appropriate title for this episode. So, Gary, Harrison, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Tired, though, but great.
Yeah, tired, but definitely still on, like, a high of how much fun we had. We'll have time to talk with that, but it's great. Like, I can't believe how much fun the community is gathered.
Well, I just got a postcard in the mail today from Harrison.
Did you get that today?
I did, yep.
How did it get to me faster?
And so I got this postcard for International Tabletop Day. And a really cool drawing, because Harrison, in addition to playing games and doing computer program stuff, is also an artist. And so he drew a bunch of different favorite games of the year on here, and is inviting everybody out to International Tabletop Day at the store. So very fitting, so thank you for that. And I thought this was really cool that there's going to be some sales on games and stuff, so that's definitely something for people to check out. So what kind of inspired you to make the postcards and do all that stuff?
I'm sure you'll hear a little bit more about Extra Life in a little later, but every 6 months or so, the portal has some sort of event where we get people to play for either International Tabletop Day or our Extra Life game days, and these are 24-hour events where people just hang out and play the games that they've played over the past 6 months. So like this postcard I made, usually they're just like art that has to do with those games. So if you like email these guys at what, portalgamingpodcast @gmail.com.
You got it.
and I have any copies, I'd be happy to share it with you. They're just a little character that has to represent each of the games of the year that we have. So like it's just something fun to kind of like that people can look at. Like there's a character that represents Captain Sonar and a character that represents Clank, which I'm looking forward to playing later, actually. But yeah, it's just something that I like to do, and Gary puts up with me while I like send him like all these drafts of it. But it's just something to kind of celebrate the hobby and games that I've played with a lot of these people.
Yeah, it's like every hour of the day. It's
hey,
like,
Gary, check it out.
Hey, Gary, what's this new? I bother you too, though, with the whole videos. I'm like, hey, Harrison, what do you think of this edit or whatever I did? And I still don't listen to your recommendations, but
so
it's funny.
Speaking of videos, though, I'm on Twitter today, and Board Game Links, that website, tells me that one of the top videos for the week so far is the four not-so-gateway games.
Wait, really?
Yeah, so you were on Board Game Links there, and it linked to Reddit, and you were on under there. So that's Gary's YouTube channel that he's been running. So tell us about that video you made and other things.
So I run a YouTube channel called Late to the Table. It started out as a Twitch channel, and now it's kind of been progressively switching over to a YouTube. Granted, I haven't abandoned Twitch yet. But the video that Brant's talking about is I made a video today called, not today, but a couple days ago, called The Top Four Not Really Gateway Games.
There it is.
And basically what it was about was games, four games that are casually always talked about as being great gateway games. And I don't agree with them at all, because what happens with a lot of these games is that there's issues. I don't care about spoiling the video, but essentially the four games were Seven Wonders, Zombie Dice, Mysterium, and One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
See, I knew it. Terra Mystica, still a gateway game.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
Yeah, that and Agricola.
That's how I cut my teeth, really.
Grickle is my gateway game. Not even joking. It was my gateway game. Gosh. Don't know how I'm still here. But I was actually surprised at the response to the video because my first video I posted, not my first video, but one of my first public videos that I tried like actually getting people to watch, I posted roughly about a week ago and it somehow got 1,000 views. And this one, I think is at 3K right now. Nice. I posted just 24 hours ago. So nice. Actually a little bit over 24 hours ago, but still, I did not know it was a top board game links. Honestly didn't even know that site existed. So now I need to check that site out.
Yeah. Because
I just been posting on Facebook and Reddit really. And that's it. And just all my social media. So
yeah, it was cool. And then when I saw them, I was like, wait, that's Gary's video. Yeah. So that was really exciting. So that's
cool.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't you guys, you told us some things you do, but why don't you tell us like, gamer-wise, like, what's your style of game, what's your type of games you like to play, whatever you want to say about your gaming lifestyle. Why don't you start, Harrison?
So this is funny, so I could actually probably do this for the both of us, because Gary and I have this horrible rivalry where we try to get to a game first before the other guy gets it. Our library is kind of eerily close to each other, but I like to kind of pick up more of the games where you kind of socialize at a table. I'll do that anyways, but a lot of the social deduction kind of games. But I'm getting into kind of the Euro-y games, but I still need guidance about what to pick up. So generally, like, if there's one or two designers that I find, then I'll just kind of like latch onto them. Like Level 99, I love everything they do.
Yeah. We have way too much of the same taste. I hate it.
Really anything that you can just look across the table and like smirk as you betray someone, or just anything that you end a game having a good story. That's the kind of game I like. So
and for me, I've been giving a lot of people the impression over the past year that I love short games. Like, I love, like, the social deduction games that are over in 10 minutes kind of thing, because I've been running the Twitch channel. But in reality, I basically like everything. Like, I've actually heard people say, like, oh, Gary wouldn't want to play that long game just because I'm always at the Portal playing short games. Like, I think the last time I played a short game at the Portal has been, even when I haven't been doing the Twitch channel, has been maybe like 8 months ago playing Food Chain Magnate or something like that.
Gotcha. Is that a short game? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's the shortest of short games.
Would that be a gateway game?
Maybe not. No, it's definitely not. But no, I actually, in reality, like just about every sort of game that you can imagine. I particularly like social deduction games, but also if I was to look at my top 10 games right now, along with there being like short games like One Night Ultimate Werewolf and stuff like that, there's also games like Food Chain Magnate, Comet, and other area control games, and even possible Euro games as well, like Agricola is probably up there as well too, so, and Food Chain Magnate. So
you said that like three times in the last minute.
Yeah,
you must really like it.
it's fallen down. Like, it was like my number one, number two game, but now it's like maybe number eight, so if I had to take a guess right now. But yeah, I'm all over the place with games, so I can play just about anything.
Cool. Well, welcome. It's awesome to have you guys here. Cool. So it's exciting. I'm really enjoying this, expanding the podcast and like having other voices, you know, every so love Brian, let's be careful not going there, but it's just fun to have different people, so thank you guys for joining us.
Well, thank you for having.
Yeah. So upcoming events, we've been saying it a whole bunch, and it's funny now that I'm doing the weekly, I feel like I keep making the same announcements, but as we were alluding to before, we had the International Tabletop Day coming up on April 29th, so we're just going to keep pressing that, letting people know, because really just want to blow the doors off the store. I mean, literally, two rooms and a boom, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So,
isn't it?
Actually, yeah, we've been doing it, everyone, but hopefully by then we'll have the new Necro Boomicon expansion.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that.
So, you know, make your plans now. Be ready. April 29th. I've been talking to people at the store, and they're like, yeah, I've got, like, the big events the week before, but I got that cleared. Or, like, I'm really excited because, you know, I was able to clear my schedule or my work schedule. So I know there's a lot of people that are planning on being there. So it should be a really fun day. So
yeah.
April 29th, the store is open the whole 24 hours. Like, people always ask me, like, so when is it open? And I'm like, the entire day.
The day.
Like, literally from 12:01 a.m., which is right the minute after midnight, all the way till 11:59 p.m. And even on each end, it would be open a little bit.
Yeah, and I was gonna. I always wonder about that. So, don't they also usually host like Magic the night before? So it still goes up to midnight anyway. So
yeah.
If you wanted to show up at 8 o'clock the day before, right. You could still stay throughout the entire day. I don't know why you would if you're going to be there for 36 hours, yeah, or something, yeah, like that. But that's an endurance race.
But I think it's important for people to know too. Like, they don't have to. Like, it's awesome, mm-hmm, if you can come and do the 24 hours. That's a cool goal. That's a fun thing. But it might just not be realistic. But maybe the overnight is fine, but you've got something the next day. So you could come at 8 o'clock Friday night to, yeah, stay till 5 in the morning to go home and get your beauty sleep, yeah, and be ready for whatever you have Saturday afternoon. And, I mean, that'd be great too. Or come back, or, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, we want to have people overnight. It's super fun. I mean, now there's really regular crew, but like, we're not asking anybody to commit to 24 hours necessarily. Oh, yeah. But just know we're open. So if you get out of work, you work till 11 o'clock on Friday night, you want to kick over, we're there, we're playing, you, yeah, know? So.
And there's also more people showing up for the whole 24 hours too every single, yeah, year. Like, I think, right, like last year we had like 20 people do it or something like that. It's getting,
yeah,
crazy at,
so,
this point.
I feel like, I mean, maybe we had about like 5 or so per event like we do like this. And I want to see if we can track down pictures of them, because there's like, it increases, and you know, we all kind of like push each other, like, oh man, you look tired, but you know, just keep pushing on. But I mean, if you feel like, I mean, just like Brant says, you don't have to, but it's, yeah, always a fun challenge.
Yeah, no, if, yeah, you can do it, it's definitely
fun. And one last thing real quick with the whole International Tabletop Day, I believe to help raise funds for the meetup group, what we're also doing is we're running a raffle during it.
Awesome.
We're raffling off a few games and also some Steam games as well. So I think we're thinking of doing like a $3 or $5 raffle or something like that throughout the day. So I think we're raffling off Food Chain Magnate. fourth or fifth time mentioning that game. Forbidden Stars, and I think Cry Havoc, maybe, or something.
That's
like
three
that.
Awesome titles.
Yeah, along with some Steam games like Ticket to Ride and stuff like that. So it's like we're going to be running that throughout the entire day to help raise funds and pay for the meetup group, because their dues are, actually dues I've already came in. So like,
yeah, so Gary's mentioning, and I'm sure if you're a loyal listener that you've heard these guys talking about it, the Game on Chits and Giggles meetup. It's just a meetup in, I mean, the Connecticut area, but I mean, I'd like to think that one of our home bases is the Portal, and we'll be planning a bunch of other events such as demos throughout for the games that we kind of decided, we like voted on as games of the year. So there's like Captain Sonar, Mansion of Madness, Clank, Great Western Trail, Scythe, Mangaka, to name a few. But we'll just have people running events. I mean, I'm sure that there'll be more things. I hear that there is an auction plan. So if you're interested in kind of hearing about some of that stuff, you can hear from here, or like try to look up our group. I think it's, Game On. You could find that on Facebook, and we'll be posting schedule updates and stuff like that. And I can't believe how much the Portal's been doing a great job just kind of cultivating that community.
Mm.
It's great.
Yeah,
no, it's awesome having you guys. So, that up and everything. Cool. So, let's talk about what's on your table. I guess I'll go first. I have guests. I should probably let them go first, but I'm going to go first. So, I actually don't know why I didn't get a chance to talk about it. So I got to play the Dresden Files cooperative card game. So thanks to Jason Perez, who was on two episodes ago, and he let me borrow this. It was his copy. And so I solo played it. I two-player and I three-player. Did I play a four-player game? I don't think I did. So I think it plays four and five as well. So I played one, two, and three. So Dresden Files is a series of books. I believe it's Jim Butcher is the author, and he wrote these, and it's Harry Dresden, and he is a PI, but he's also a wizard. So it's got that tilt in the world. And so, and then, you know, he befriends a lady who's like a cop who's also a werewolf, or like a vampire, so all that kind of, I don't know, mystical characters or whatever, they all are in the environment, but, you know, people kind of know about them and kind of don't, that whole thing. And so it's a series of books, you know, that came out. There's like 14 books or something. So what happens in the game is everybody gets a character, and your character has like a deck of 10 cards, and then you have two cards. You have a talent and a stunt. And it's cool. It makes a little panoramic picture in front of you, like you lay the two together.
Yeah.
And everybody gets a character, and then you pick a story you want to play. So I think there's 11 stories in the box or something like that. So I think I was told there's like 14 books, but there's 11 in here. Whatever. They tried to make a whole bunch of them. And you could play any one. And I think there's like 14 characters in the box. Mm-hmm. So lots of replayability yep. right there.
So it's like a campaign-ish kind of?
It's not. You pick one of these. And so what happens is you shuffle up. Each story contains 12 cards. You shuffle them up and you lay them out in two rows of six. So six and six. And then on your turn, you just play cards to try to, like, solve the puzzle. Mm. So the part that's interesting is you draw X number of cards to start a game based on the number of players. You don't draw a card, and it's not a deck builder. So you literally just have that set of cards, and you're trying to solve the puzzle.
Huh.
Yeah. And so you play your cards. Now, there are some cards that are on the table. When you clear them, they say, oh, you can draw more cards. So at that point, you get to draw cards, but you don't regularly draw cards on your turn. You play one card. So you have four different cards in your hand, and they match up with the four different types of cards that are on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So the two main types of cards that are on the table are foes and cases. And so at the end of the game, when the game's over, which has a little bit of a variable ending, so I'm not going to quite get into how the game ends. At the end of the game, you have to have more cases solved than foes still in play. So you can fight the foes to eliminate them, or you can solve a bunch of cases yeah. to have more of them there, or some combination thereof. So that's basically your goal. In addition, you have obstacles, which kind of change up the rules for that game. So it might say, oh, in this game, because of this obstacle, you can't fight any foes till you clear this obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be like that, so it changes up the rules. And then you have advantages. So advantages might be like, hey, just go grab a beer. And, like, you go to Moe's or whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. And when you go there, everybody gets to draw a card.
Been watching The Simpsons.
Yeah, I guess so. And so when you clear that card, it'll tell you what bonus you get.
Okay.
And so you lay all these cards out, and then you have cards that match each of those. So you have a yellow card that'll clear obstacles, a red card that'll fight foes, green cards that'll solve cases, and purple cards that'll gain advantages for you. The cards range, so they all have a fate cost. So you have a fate pool of 13 fate points. On my turn, I play a card and I spend that many fate points and I can do whatever it says. So they also have a range. So range 1 would be the first card in the row, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's harder to get to the cards further in the row. So that's part of the puzzle, is figuring out how to move them forward. Because when you clear a card, everything slides forward.
Okay.
So you're trying to do that, and then there's little tricky things that happen. Now, of course, eventually you're going to spend that fate, so then on your turn somebody else has to spend a card, not do its ability, and gain the fate that's on the card. Okay. And that puts it back in the pool. Your other options are you have your stunt, which is a one-time ability. So you play it, and then you flip your card, and that's your once-per-game ability. And then everybody has their talent, which is when you discard for those fate points, you get to enact your talent.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry, for example, he can move any advantage or obstacle closer. So you can move it closer to people. So sometimes you just have to use his ability to push it forward so you can clear those obstacles. The last thing you can do on your turns, you can pass, which is you spend one fate. If you pass and there's no fate pool, that's where the game would then end.
Oh, okay.
At the end, there's a little showdown phase then, and you can roll dice to see if you can solve any of the cases that are like partially solved or eliminate any of the foes.
Yeah.
And there's a system. I guess the dice in the game, there's two blanks, two pluses, two minuses. And it's the same. This is Evil Hat Productions or Evil Hat Games. They make the RPG of this.
Yeah.
And those dice are in the RPG.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same system in the RPG that they use. So the dice are neat, and that could upset people because they definitely can make a big difference. You roll, and you'll have like variable costs or variable range or variable damage. Not on everything, just some cards.
Oh, okay.
So it's not all the time. But a plus would increase and a minus would decrease, which could be good or bad based on what you're doing. But I feel like you need it. Now, I like dice, not to a high extent, but it makes it so it's not perfect information.
Yeah.
I can't say that'll definitely happen because we don't know, but it can be pretty punishing. Like, two or three bad dice rolls in a row can mean you cannot solve the case.
Just like Arkham Horror and other games like that.
Yeah, but not to that extent, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
I think you can still solve them and roll dice poorly.
Oh,
and it's not like if you roll dice well, it's a cakewalk. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it's really neat. It's 30 minutes tops. Like, it's really fast. You're just playing through, like, you draw six cards, and you're playing through your six cards, maybe a couple extra things. You know, people's turns is just play one card and do what the effect is. But there's all sorts of different things. Like, Harry's the easiest one because he has to be in every game, so I'm just used to him being there, so I know his cards better. But he has one that's just like, play this to deal damage to all foes in a row.
Yeah.
Right? And there's another character that's like, you know, put case tiles on all cases. So there's a certain number of tokens you have to put on a card. So you deal damage. Same with cases, you put clues on it. When there's enough clues, you clear it. So, yeah, it's really neat. It's really like a puzzle, like a cooperative puzzle. And then the trick becomes, you know, you're supposed to, like, talk about your cards vaguely, which is always a tricky rule for me. Like, how vague do you want to be? And whatever, we'll just say it. Like, it doesn't bother me. As long as you're having fun, I don't really worry about cooperatives. You know, if I'm going to post my score online or enter, you know, then I feel bad. I want to make sure I'm following certain criteria. But if we're having fun at the table, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
Seems like the arc of the game that you were saying kind of seems similar to like London Dread, where you just kind of like run around and then you have like a showdown.
Yeah, I mean, there's no programming element, but it's similar to that, and then way faster than London Dread.
Did you follow the lore at all before this game? Like,
I didn't. No, I haven't read the books or anything, so I'm interested in trying to do that to some extent. Just to see. It does. I guess there's spoilers in the game if you haven't read the books.
Yeah.
Because there's like, oh, the character who's a traitor or whatever is like, you know, a villain card, foe card in the game and stuff like that. But, and things like that. But, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. I was impressed. I didn't know. Solo play is like glorified three player. It's like you lay out three characters and you play that way. But since it's a puzzle.
Yeah,
it's no different than like trying to solve a Sudoku or something. Like, you're still doing the puzzle and trying to figure it out. So they limit, you get like one less card, I think, for each character because you have perfect information of
Those, so. Makes sense.
But I really enjoyed it. Dresden Files, Evil Hat Games, or Productions, I can't remember which one.
I think Tracy would be interested in that one.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I'd try that out. What I've been playing this past week has been a lot of Ticket to Ride, a lot of Splendor. The Extra Life United, we'll get to talk about that later, but at Extra Life United, we played, me and Harrison joined tournaments, and we played just a ton of those games, and the funny thing is that I went into it being like, I kind of can't stand all these games at this point. Like, they're okay, like, they're good, but, like, I'm kind of, like, over them. I played them a lot and stuff like that, so I'm over them, but for some odd reason, playing it in a very competitive environment brought it back out, like, where I'm like, oh man, I love this game. Like, man, I forgot how much I like Ticket to Ride. I forgot how much I like Splendor and stuff like that. I still don't like Small World. But I've been playing a lot of that. Besides that tournament, I've been playing a decent amount of, like, I've been teaching a lot of people Rhino Hero, which I'm kind of always teaching people Rhino Hero. We even went as far as made a variant of it with Giant Jenga, which is pretty funny.
Nice.
You basically put the Rhino on the Jenga tower and you basically move them up, and not to go into the details of the rules, but essentially you're building the tower around this Rhino, so you can't build where he's at. So the Jenga tower becomes way easier to fall down, way quicker, but the game lasts the perfect amount of time for it not to be too quick, not too long.
It's a fun variant. Yeah.
Yeah. I also, made another variant. I've been on a variant tear recently, where I mixed up Dark Stories, which Dark Stories is a game where it's like it's basically a riddle, but not at all, because the riddles are not clever. And I just mixed it up with Insider, because all Dark Stories is 20 questions with really kind of like dark, disturbing almost-ish stories. But I'm trying to solve it with yes-no questions, and I just mixed it with Insider, so now one person at the table also knows the answer along with the master. And it works out better than how the game is actually supposed to play, because these riddles are super random, and it helps if one person...
Some person actually knows the answer, so it might feed it towards...
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, besides that, I've been trying... Oh, and I played, like, Twilight Imperium, like, a week and a half ago, and that was a ton of fun. We actually played it a lot faster. Larry was actually in that game, too, and Eric... it went faster than I thought it was going to go, but it could have been a lot faster, though, because I screwed up, like, setting that game up, to be honest. Setting up that game took, like, an hour and a half. So, but that was just me also refreshing the rules, and I thought Phil was coming over, and I thought he knew how to set up everything, because he thought he played the game, like, 6-7 times, but he only played it, like, 3. And it just took forever. But for the most part, that's basically what I've been playing, is just a bunch of small games and one ridiculously long game, so... But I just need to catch up on my food chain mag now, so I'm actually trying to play that.
Finally. Bye.
Nice. What have you been playing, Harrison?
So I won't talk about Arkham Horror, the living card game, just because that's just going to be a baseline. I think I'm going to be pretty obsessed with that for a while. But I've been kind of on a Tim Fowerskick. I just got a copy of Fugitive in, and yesterday we played Burgle Bros, which is kind of like a stealth game where you're just going through a bank, a three-story building, just trying to go on a heist. But Fugitive is pretty fun. I'm glad to have like a good two-player game to bust out, because I love Battleline, but like that's kind of like my go-to two-player game. But Fugitive is pretty cool in that one person is the marshal that's going after you. I guess it's clear from the title, a fugitive, and the fugitive's job is to kind of use cards that they collect to kind of help them go into different hiding spots. And it's kind of like a back and forth catch me if you can kind of game, where the marshal has to draw cards as well to kind of see where, I mean, to deduce where the fugitive isn't, and he's guessing, or she, in the cards it's a lady detective, which is kind of cool, and she's she's, you're able to kind of pick sections where your fugitive might be able to hide, and the game ends if the marshal finds all the hiding spots, including where the fugitive currently is, or if the fugitive is able to get from a spot from 0 to 42. So it's kind of a cool like table. You like read each other, trying to read how the fugitive played cards, and that's, it just has this like deviousness and stealth that I kind of like crave in games. Those are good so far, and I guess all of this is in anticipation of a Kickstarter that's about to come out, Hardback, which is a sequel or something to a Paperback.
Prequel.
That's Hardback is a prequel to Paperback.
That's the only thing I know about anything else about the game.
So yeah, that's Burgle Bros and Fugitive are games that I've had at the table recently.
Did you like Fugitive more than Noir?
I didn't feel like they were similar, but I like...
They like kind of like the same, I guess you could almost say premise, where it's like you're trying to find a bad guy, kind of, and it's a one-on-one game.
Yeah, I think that Noir kind of has a weird, like, it's hard to kind of manipulate the table enough, so it kind of is a hard sell to some people, but I don't know, I like Fugitive a little bit more, because it's really easy to pick up, and, like, you could play it at a bar. In fact, I played it at a bar last night, yeah. Like it's just nice, and it's, maybe I could see if I could even fit it in my pocket, because it seems like a good light little game that you can run. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nice. Cool. So that's what's been on our table. Let us know what's on yours. All right, so for discussion today, I brought these two guys on because they recently took a trip down to Orlando, Florida to go to the Extra Life United event and participate and compete. And so why don't you guys tell me why you were going? What is Extra Life United, and why were you guys going there?
So just to step back, Extra Life, if you're not aware, is a charity that... bands people together to kind of share in a shared hobby, and in this case it's gaming in any way, shape, or form. So people play video games, people play board games, people play sports, I guess, sometimes.
Some people have played sports.
Yeah, I think so. sports things. Just to gather their community and friends and stuff like that. And one of the biggest capstone events that they usually run is to encourage the entire country at one day to do a 24-hour game day, which we mentioned earlier. And normally this was around in the fall, around November. Usually it coincides on the day of daylight savings time, so around like early November. And Gary and I are on the Extra Life Hartford Guild. I'm currently the president of it, and some of the people that we'll be talking about are also in the guild as well. And we kind of just got banded together. I went last year with Hong, and it was just an opportunity to kind of to go down there. And what Extra Life United is like a gaming tournament where you get to kind of play games to raise money for prizes, and those prizes actually go straight to your local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. So our group of six went to represent the Connecticut Children's Medical Center, and you'll see that we kind of did okay. So
yeah, we did okay.
Yeah,
nice. So tell us, Gary, just tell us anything else about Extra Life United that you think would be key. What, I got a better question. Yeah. What made you want to go this year? Because this was your first time, right?
Harrison begged me to go.
I don't know if
no. begged is right. No, well, Harrison was asking me for a while if I wanted to go, and I was actually very much on the fence because I'm already going down to Florida for Dice Tower Con this year, and that's going to be in July, so that's like, what, 3 months away where it's like, okay, now I'm going back to Florida again. But no, the reason why I wanted to go this year was that Harrison's told me a lot about it, and I've recently just started getting involved with Extra Life. I mean, granted, I've done the Extra Life days where it's like the 24-hour events. We usually run those at the portal. But recently, I've actually then let go of my Wednesday night game nights, stuff like that, to, one, work on the YouTube, and two, be able to actually show up to these Extra Life meetings that are on Wednesdays to actually get more involved. Like, for example, tomorrow we're going to be at Mohegan Sun running an event there, even though it's going to be after this is probably aired. But what's That's it called? But yeah, so it's just more recently I've been getting involved with Extra Life besides that one single day. And it just seemed like a great time to just, I guess you could say, make it to like my first event outside of that. And I definitely don't regret it at all, because that was freaking, that was a great time down there. And the results that we did down there was great. And it was also, not only was it great to run the event, but go to the event and participate, but it was also great to see all the other champions from all the other states, because every single state has their own champion, their own kid that represents their the hospital. Our hospital is Emma. But it was great meeting other kids, like, for example, like meeting Noah. Noah's hilarious. Where is he from? He's from Vermont, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's hilarious. And he's raised a ton of money. He's raised like $115,000. Not by himself, of course. He's like, what, eight? But he's raised a ton of money with him and his organization. So it's like, it's great to see all the other champions there, meet with them, play games with them, and stuff like that. So it's a great time down there to hang out with these kids.
So on top of that, it's also a great like networking opportunity to kind of see all the people that do their version of Extra Life throughout the country. In that, so we met with people that are in leadership positions in Extra Life, people that just love gaming, people that run streams and stuff like that, and you get to get the feeling about how everybody does, like, raises money or gathers their community doing something that they love, and then just to kind of get ideas and bounce them back and forth with each other. And I think that, I mean, starting from there, it's really can't, I mean, like, everybody's in a positive light because they're there for the same thing. It's not a uber competitive cutthroat environment. I might not have not played it super like not cutthroat. I don't know.
Super cutthroat. It was great.
All right, though. So tell us about the trip now. I mean, you don't have to give us every detail. Like, what snacks did you have on the plane down? We don't need to know that.
Oh man, I have my whole agenda.
But walk us through, you know, getting there and maybe the first day, and then kind of give us the recount and go.
First things first, the guava pies McDonald's was. That, along with the guy who was serving us in the drive-thru at McDonald's who rapped for us late one night, were pretty funny highlights. But great things that happened there was we participate in the tournaments, and the tournaments there were, what were they again? It was Star Realms, Splendor, Citadels, Ticket to Ride, Small World.
What did you miss? Splendor, Ticket Ride, Small World.
I think that was all.
Citadels.
Yeah.
Citadel. I don't know.
But, food chain magnate?
Yeah.
Six.
But yeah, we played all those games, and there was a ton of other things going on. Like, we were basically placed on a Disney resort. So we're walking around resort. We didn't go into the parks. I mean, some people went to the parks the day before and the day after. But us in particular, we didn't go to the parks. But we basically hung around the resort. So it was a pretty fun time down there. And, like, what else did we do while we were down there?
Well, I mean, they kind of organized it in a way so that the first day is kind of introduction. So you got to kind of meet up with people. People were checking in the in the evening, so it was just kind of an opportunity for maybe if you missed it that you wouldn't miss out on the main chunk of the event. So it was just introduction day, and they actually got all the champions that Gary mentioned to come out and play like free play games. So it wasn't in a competitive environment. People were playing games like Gary had Rhino Hero. People were playing a video game called Overcooked, where you all work together to be in a kitchen together, so you're like chopping onions and you need the onions for a soup or something like that. So that was fun. Just a bunch of different small games, and then you get to play them with like the kids that you know you're benefiting, and which is a good time. So like you started out playing games with kids and just kind of like amped you up for the weekend where you kind of got a little bit more serious. And then the second day we started with a medal ceremony, which they do every Extra Life, where they bring out all the champions that they bring out, and the champions, their whole family comes out, and actually they get an opportunity to go to Disney for free. And what happened was Nick Cannon that year was the host, and he would introduce each of the kids, and there was a giant walkway, and they played loud music, and Nick Cannon would introduce each and every one from all of the states. Parts of Canada, Puerto Rico, and just give them their 5 minutes of fame, and everybody's clapping, talking about like what they like to do, what their hobbies are, and then they get a little medal from Miss USA. So like it's just a great time. And it was all live streamed, and it was just a kind of day for a few hours for them all to feel special.
Sure.
And these are kids that are dealing or have conquered chronic illnesses or brushes with death, and it's just like a good way for the people that are going to be playing in the tournaments just to see where their money is going and like where money goes for other kids and for other hospitals. And it's just, I don't know. They played little videos throughout the day. And there was like one about moms and one about dads, and you look over and Gary was bawling.
Yeah, it totally was. I was bawling laughing at that Teddy one. The good to know kid. There was a kid there that was talking with one of the owners of the Marriott hotels, and after every answer, the guy said, he kept saying, good to know. And I swear, that kid, if he grew up, he'd like when he gets older, he's like going to be like a comedian, I swear.
Yeah,
like, he's hilarious.
John Stewart.
Yeah. Nice. Kid's hilarious. But what's it called? There was also Steve Young was there too as well. There was a lot of celebrities there, surprisingly.
Marie Osmond.
Yeah, those are pretty good amounts. I was not expecting that. I didn't believe people when they were saying that Ken was hosting. I thought they were joking. That's like the randomest host, in my opinion. I mean, granted, he hosts a ton of stuff, but I just wasn't expecting Nick Cannon to be there. but yeah.
So we got through the day one. That was the introductions, the kids, all that stuff. And then where did it go from there? To go to tournaments and other things?
Yeah. It was basically tournaments throughout the rest of the weekend for the most part. It's just like, it was like, we, if I recall correctly, we were going to be happy if like, what, last year you guys walked away with what, maybe a grand?
Just about.
Yeah. So it's like, this year it was like, oh, okay, we're bringing like two, three extra more people. It's like, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if beforehand we were like, oh, if we walk away with like a grand or two, we'd be happy. But like, the worst of us came out with last year's outcome. I was in the bottom two, I think, in the amount of money that people brought. I brought home 500, and then like we had people like Harrison over here that brought home what, 15 grand?
Yeah.
Something like that. And we had another person, Tim, who's not here, and he was basically the person who carried us in the video game section, because everyone else for the most part was playing board games. And Tim, he walked home with like 21,000 or something like that. So
yeah.
Like, we total raised just shy of 40K, if I recall correctly.
That's awesome.
Which is like, that's already more than half of how much we usually raise in a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, so we're on pretty good pace, like double how much we raised last year.
That's awesome.
Just from that one event. And no, but it was crazy though, because it was, it was walking into there and starting, I didn't think it was going to be that crazy, I guess you could say, in terms of like how competitive and how much fun it was going to be. But then it just like, it was just through the roof after a while. And like, and then there was a huge big stage throughout the entire weekend. I was just like, this is like being in like esports, just like in terms of like how epic everything was and stuff like that. So it was crazy. It was a real good time down there during that. And yeah, it was great. It was for those 2 days. Well, actually, for the entire time we're down there, though. But was there anything else that happened in between the terms, or was it really just purely tournaments for 2 days?
So this event. They used a lot of feedback, and they actually consolidated it from 3 days to 2 days, which bit scheduling in the butt because there were so many different tournaments that they had to organize around. So there were six different events, six different games that were played, and I should step back and say that there was board tabletop, which we primarily participated. That's why we're talking. But there's also video games, which were there too. So people can choose between there were different waves, which, like, if they wanted to play a video game or a board game, and you get to choose which one you wanted to do. And then according to your winnings, then you get to move on to a semifinals and then maybe a finals as you went along. And it was kind of fun because there were people I met from last year that I got to play with. And I would just be like, oh no, we didn't have any games that were scheduled to play each other, but I'll see you the finals and semifinals. And I thought it was kind of a joke, like, you know, maybe I'll get there, but we all ended up doing pretty well, so we got to play with a wide range of people just because, you know, we did all right, so we got to see the people that didn't get eliminated so far. So
you got into semifinals in at least every game, right, if I recall correctly?
Not Star Realms. No good at Star Realms. Brant gave me some good tips, but no good at Star Realms.
Take that one. Scratch my tips. Do the opposite of what I said.
Yeah. But Citadels, I ended up getting second in that. So I did get to the finals in Citadels. Splendor was one that I ended up winning. And then Ticket to Ride, I ended up winning as well. Oof, and nice.
A very controversial win, that one. Very controversial.
They actually ended up announcing a winner because of how close... announcing winner, and I... and the spread was only like 5 points between three people, and they announced the winner wasn't me. And then I looked at the table, and it was just like, as they were announcing, I was just had my phone out, just doing my score. And even after they were like, they finished the stream, I was like, wait, can somebody score me? Can somebody else look at the score? And they looked at the board state, and I ended up having off to win, which I felt really bad about, like having to steal like the win from.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it's a charity, so it was charity. Yeah, you know what I mean. So I wouldn't panic.
Yeah, so it was a crazy jump though. You went from third to first or something like that.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah, I was like, okay,
real big jump.
One of the interesting things is that Gary and I, as we were going up and up in the Splendor tournament, we were afraid that we would be placed in semifinals together, and that's exactly what happened. So we would have had to eliminate each other in order to get to the finals, and only first and second in each of the games would have moved on from a semifinals to a finals. And what happened was we just squeaked out a first and second win. So then we got to do the finals together.
Nice.
But then I don't know what Gary did during the finals. He
in the finals, man. The finals, that was a rigged game. Not joking. But no, but real quick, if you know, I already know how to play Splendor, I'll spare you the details. But basically, someone stole all the cards I was going to buy, which left me with a whole bunch of black chips. And I was just like, the only way I could come back in this win now is wait for something with black chips to come out. And nothing did. So I ended up getting in last in that one, which still got me $500 at that point. But nice. But yeah, it was a real fun game, though. It was pretty cool.
At that point, though, you get people that are really, really good at Splendor, and I think that was probably one of the highlights. The other people that weren't Gary and me were there was Derek, who runs a board game cafe in Toronto, and then there's Laura, who's just she just has this great smile, but she's just so fierce when she plays. And I think she doesn't want me to admit it, but I think that, like her, between her and another guy from her actual same hospital, I couldn't figure out, like, who was my rival, like, there, because I'd always be in games with them. I'm like, we have to, like, defeat each other. Nice. But I think that game really should deserve to be in the books, because we ended up having a... So we ended up having a three-way tie, like, because the game ends when you have 15.
Yeah.
But then the tiebreaker, we tied that as well, because what's the tiebreaker for that is, like, the number of...
cards that you have on the table.
Or is it number of...
It's just the amount of card, like, the amount of gems total you have on the table. It's, like, first it's tied in points, and then it ties in the amount of cards. So whoever has the least amount of cards then wins.
So then our engines had the exact... So the three of us had the exact same amount of cards in there, in our engine. And then we tied on that. I think that... I forget what
After the that point, was, you just play another round.
You had to play another round just to see who would end up getting more points. And I think then I was able to just kind of do something to get a noble to come over. And then those two guys had it out between them for second and third. But, like, I've never played a game that was that tight. So if you're listening to this, that was just one of the most epic games I've ever played of Splendor.
Nice. Yeah, the tournament stuff can really kick things up. I mean, I don't want to make this about... me, but Larry and I played the pandemic survival one, and we played at the store, and then we went to Gen Con, and then we won the semifinals, and then we went to the finals, and then I told the story, but, like, we had it in the bag, except for they bottom deck Jakarta and then top deck Jakarta. Like, it was brutal. No. But ever since then, I've been playing Pandemic left and right. Like, it's funny. I've really had an appreciation for that game since then. It's so fun. And I'm not mad that I lost. Like, it's a fun story to tell, but it's fine. It's like I was happy to just do all that. But it's neat how playing in that environment can kind of help you to appreciate a game more that you kind of maybe thought a little lesser of.
Yeah, like, I would be totally down to play a game of Ticket to Ride or Splendor now. Like, and I haven't wanted to play those games in such a long time. Yeah. It's weird how that sparked that again.
But, yeah.
All right, so let's wrap it up. So any final highlights that you want to mention, or maybe even something about, like, you know, maybe why people would want to contact you, like, why should somebody listening think about going to Extra Life United next year?
I would suggest people to go to Extra Life United next year, besides just having a great time, because that's an obvious, but besides that, though, it's like, the reason why I am in Extra Life United is, besides just the whole Harrison, everyone knowing people and stuff like that, is because, I mean, my background is that I grew up I wasn't a foster kid, but my mom raised a lot of foster kids. So we had a lot of sick kids growing up. So it's like, I had a background of, like, having to help raise these kids and stuff like that. So, for me personally, it's great to continue giving back, because it's the kids really need the help, and you'd be shocked at how many issues that arrive in their lives and stuff like that, just on a day-to-day basis, and how an event like this can really spark their inner fire and stuff like that. Like, these days just make kids feel great. Like, for example, I remember growing up, and due to, I think it was Make-A-Wish Foundation or something like that, one of the kids got to meet, like, the Celtics, and it was, like, the best day of his life. And it's like things like that, where it's like these sort of events, like, the kids love it. I mean, they get to go to Disney World afterwards after they go to the tournament. They get to play games with us, and they're having a ball and stuff like that, and we're trying to do our best to make them have a great time. So it's like, if besides the whole going down there, meeting people and having fun, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like the kids really need it, and it's just great to it's just a great way to spend your time giving back to the community and helping out these people. And I guess you could say when they're in their darkest days, I guess the best way to put it. But yeah, that's a whole nother reason I would say to go check out these Extra Life events, in particular Extra Life United, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that, and Gary will probably have a similar answer if he goes next year. When he goes next year, just that the people that you meet there, and I said this earlier, just like the networking that you get, you meet people that have a similar mindset, that are really interested in, like, a great cause. So these are, I mean, I like to think that they're, like, some of the best people that I'll ever meet. And you kind of get this closeness with them, and you keep up with each other throughout the year, just to bounce ideas off of each other. And, like, when you come back, you get this family feel, and everybody said that it felt like camp, because we only knew each other for like 3 days, yeah, like from last year, and then now it's like another 2 or 3 days, and it's just like a great opportunity for you to kind of get inspired. So even if you don't take home any money or very much, like I think that you get like the perspective about like the kind of like lives that you're affecting and helping, and I think that, I mean, it's always great to bring back home money, but I think that I'd like to think that the people that we brought from in Connecticut, and you know, a lot of us paid our own way to get through, get to just have that to be able to tell stories about that whenever they're kind of advocating for extra life in their communities, just like saying, you know, these are the lives that we affect, and these are the types of kids that, you know, you're touching. So before we move too far, I just want to make sure I give a shout out to the couple, I mean, the folks that also went. So there was Tracy, who's our vice president for the year. There's Hong. There's Tim, who's our, I don't know, he's a weird role. It's like director of social media and marketing. And then there's his buddy Tyler. And Tim and Tyler played the video game aspects of it. And Tracy and Hong, we all played board games together. So I think it's always the people, and that's why I would suggest anybody go.
No, I totally agree. You hit the nail on the head. You know, I always tell my wife, I'm like, look, I know when I die people are gonna say, man, he really liked board games, but I'm like, you need to correct them and say he liked board games because they're about the people. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys have definitely made a great example of that, you know, with Extra Life United, and maybe caught on to that, and you know, you got a chance to see that, and that, yeah, like, we love these games and they're fun and we can learn to appreciate other games, but it's great because board games bring people together.
Absolutely.
And it's cool to even have board games bring people together for a cause, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing that we can all just sit down on the table, no matter, you know, what background we come from, what games we're good at, whether we're left or right on the political scale, black or white on the skin tone thing. Like, we can all sit at the same table and play games. That's awesome. But then to take it to that next level of, like, we can actually work towards a cause is so cool. So thank you guys for exemplifying that and going down there. And then coming on the podcast to talk about it.
Awesome.
If you have any questions for these guys, you can email me at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. And I will get it on to them. And that'll wrap up our discussion for now. All right, there we go. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 44. Truly wonderful the mind of a child is. There we go. That one's in the books. Good episode, guys.
All right.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Last minute plugs. Plug your YouTube channel there, Gary.
Hey, guys. As you can see on the podcast, you can see here on the video as well. I run a YouTube channel called Late to the Table. I just started getting things running on it. You can find it on YouTube at Late to the Table. I just finally got a custom URL since now I have over 100 subscribers. Basically, what the YouTube channel about really quickly is it's less about reviews, but more about how-tos. And I'm going to be teaching like variants, how-tos, and the occasional review and news and stuff like that. So go ahead and check it out there. Also on other social medias, a lot of them are official LTTT on like Instagram, Twitter, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Nice. Harrison?
I mentioned it earlier, but Game On, Chits and Giggles is our meetup group. If you find us through Meetup, there are also links to our Facebook group where we keep good conversations about games, keep track of Kickstarters or any trends in the gaming industry. But just feel free to look out for there. You'll be able to hear news about your friendly local game stores, about things that are going on, and just to kind of meet people in the hobby in the local Connecticut area. But I mean, we have people from, I think the farthest is, we have people in Pittsburgh, I guess. Plugging that, the meetup group. We'd love to see more new faces just to kind of get access to more people's libraries, I think. I'm always interested in seeing people's games. Feel free to look for us there, too.
Awesome. So And of course, if you're local and you know, you're listening to the podcast and you're in the area of Manchester, Hartford, Connecticut, you can just stop in, and these guys are at the store on Thursday nights, sometimes on Sundays, and then of course on April 29th we'll have the International Tabletop Day. Ooh. So you can find them there.
Yep.
So thank you guys a whole bunch. This All right. has been Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 44. I am your host, The Brant.
This is Gary from Late to the Table.
I'm Harrison.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on March 31st, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.